Makes me happier than when I get to introduce you to my friends, the people that I spend personal time with and that I absolutely adore. So here we go today with one of my closest friends. Got to spend some time with her earlier this year as we start to open back up. My girl, Jaden Cole. What's up, girl?
Hello, Lisa Ann. How are you?
I'm great. It's great to see you as always. And there's so much to talk about with you. You've been traveling a bit, spending time between Las Vegas and Montana, which I think is totally awesome. You've been creating your own kind of huge company by doing everything on your own, producing your own content. So let's go back to how this past year has been for you and what new things you've taken on. Grateful Red Tour at Instagram, Miss Jaden Cole with MissJayden Cole on TikTok. And you are still Jaden Cole on Twitter as of right now. Am I correct?
Absolutely. You make it sound so sexy.
Oh, thanks. Hopefully that will make everybody go and follow you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hopefully
yeah,
that's really good.
Of course. Of course. Now, what a change I think both you and I have gone through in the last year. I remember being at your place in New York in Christmas 2019, and our goals and our ideas of what the next couple of years were going to look like has completely flipped on its head. At least, you know, it has for me. You at least kind of upgraded and kind of chill, like settled into what you're doing right now in a way that I don't think either of us really expected.
Yeah. I mean, I will say that putting the brakes on life without it really being our choice was interesting because you had to wrap your head around it at first. But for you and I, who are really truly creators and we love to be creating things, whether it is content, whether it is products to be selling, we love the whole process of it. So I think we both dove in. And I know for you, you've started to really get into merchandising and creating your own content. So was it making the room for the time that really got you to just put your focus right to that?
100%. When we first had the pandemic, early 2020, I had gone and done AVN, a few dance gigs. And I remember my last dance gig was in early March in Arizona. And I was like a little freaked out. I was like, I don't even know if I should be. Isn't this like, this seems like a fucking ground.
How dead was the airport for that trip?
I mean, I actually drove to Arizona because I have family there from
right,
Las Vegas.
Right,
so I think, you know what? Now that I think about it, they wanted to fly me. They booked me a ticket and I canceled it and I saved it for later. And I was like, you know what? I don't feel like being in an airport right now. It was early March 2020. The shit was about to hit the fan. I had been booked, including a convention, an Exotica convention, 5 weeks in a row from April, the first weekend of April. I was supposed to do Sapphire in New York. That was going to kick it off. Then I was going to Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Chicago for the convention, and then like Madison, Wisconsin, all 5 weeks. And when they got canceled, I had just, things had started picking up for me with OnlyFans and Sex Panther and these platforms. Thank God the timing was perfect because I dove right into how can I make this OnlyFans page of mine stand out? How can I make my brand stand out? Now I have the time to be home and really focus on what direction I wanted to take my career in.
And I think it's great because you control the time that you're using, the content that you're producing. You've got yourself on a schedule. You keep your members coming back to your OnlyFans because you do so many live shows. And I think when we were really busy, you know, you get home from one gig, and when you were looking at what your March would have looked like, those are the times where people don't realize your home is actually a glorified closet. You're home maybe 3 or 4 days a month. And those 3 or 4 days, you are ferociously unpacking suitcases, repacking suitcases. And I don't know if you ever did this, but there were panic moments where I was just like, I'm going to go to Ross and buy some new suitcases because I don't even have the time to unpack these suitcases. And I'm just going to pack different suitcases. So, you know, so you didn't get as much time to really focus on your OnlyFans. Sure, you could tackle it a bit on the road. You know, I know years ago, you and I spent our time on the road doing Hootsuite. You know,
100%.
In the hotel. It's like, what am I going to do? I do all my Hootsuite. I'm going to do all my tedious stuff in the hotel. But it wasn't really the same. And, you know, you get this like, whoa, I'm not going to be home 4 days a month. I'm going to be on the whole month. I might be home for 4 months. Like, that is a unique experience when it first happens because you're used to moving at a really fast pace.
100%. It was such a blessing because I had also just moved. I got to jump into like redoing my place, my house, and just accomplishing all those things and cooking things that I didn't ever feel like I had the time set aside to really dive into on a personal level and like re-get to know myself as an adult and instead of, you know, going, right?
It's true. The more quiet, you know, the quieter you are, one of my favorite quotes, the quieter you are, the louder you hear. And so that bit of time gave us a lot of quiet time. You had to get comfortable with your thoughts, which some of us really took in a good direction. I agree with you with cooking, like, because you had the time to experiment with things and say like, hey, I can look this up on YouTube. Let me try to make something I've never made before. I'm not obviously in a hurry to go anywhere, but now let's flash forward to now. Are you going back out on the road? What's going to be different for you once the world starts to stabilize and normalize? What choices have you made to keep kind of that feeling that you felt and that control that you had during the pandemic into your future life?
Well, I discovered some friends of mine had moved to Montana. I was like, I could go to Montana. I think it's been 1 year since I started going there. I got a place there in early spring. I started the process. Everything is official now. I have a place there. I have a garden there. The things are starting to grow. Now I can make jams, jellies, and pickles, and ice cream. I made ice cream when I was there this past month. I really did. I can't wait to send you some. This is all, I'm still in the experimental phase.
Yeah.
But what's fun about it, even in the pandemic, was I was like, okay, once a week I'll do a cooking show. And the fans loved it. Oh, it's not just a cooking show. It's OnlyFans. I mean, come on. So I'd start off, I'd make something in the kitchen. Some of the fans would send me their favorite spices or recipes that I would try for them. And it was so interesting. They're like, I could watch this part for days. I was like, really? Because I could cook for days. And so what I'm going to start doing is shipping out little samples, little 2 ounce jars, little 4 ounce jars of the jam and the jelly that I make just to trusted, you know, either fans and obviously yes. friends, but I can't wait for people to start enjoying it. And what's awesome for my future is that these fans on OnlyFans really seem supportive of your goals outside the industry.
Yes.
So if I want to be a little old lady making jams and jellies in Montana, they're still going to support that, which is fantastic. Yes.
So and you can also convert those videos that you're doing in a more mainstream platform onto YouTube. And eventually when, you know, maybe there'll come a day where you're like me, where you're just only recycling old content on OnlyFans. Now you're going to work over on your YouTube and you're still going to. And I will say it's great. The thing about OnlyFans, I just said this to somebody yesterday and they were like shocked. And I'm like, listen, I think the reason OnlyFans has become as powerful as it is the buyer knows that the content that's being put out there is put out there by choice. Everything that the talent wants to be doing, they're doing. They're completely in control. And so when you get the mindset of that type of a fan who just kind of wants to be sure you're good and that everything you're doing you're comfortable with, I think you get a lasting connection with somebody that follows you and enjoys to watch your new career, whatever you decide to do next. You're selling jams, you're doing whatever. It is interesting to see how much more personal the relationship it is you get from OnlyFans versus all the other sites we used to work on where there wasn't really that connection and there was a lot of uncertainty. And there's also a lot of trash on those sites that you see, you know, you're seeing come up. So you see what it's next to and you're like, oh, I have to promote this link and I'm going to put this link out. And then right next to this link is that shit. Oh my fucking God. You know, there's those moments you have, right? So it's just amazing. Now, you know, we grew up with gardens where I live, and we also had fields out in Lower Nazareth outside of Palmer Township that were free to farm, and all the fruits and vegetables were donated. So it was really just a way to feed the homeless in our small community and get even better at gardening because you had more space. And I love the whole process. It's so soothing. It gives you such a touch with nature. You start to understand the weather more and looking ahead at what's going to do well, what might not season after season. I mean, I grew up reading the Farmer's Almanac, so we would prepare for this spring to see, are we planting corn this year, or are there going to be a ton of storms that'll just knock it down once it's at its almost ready to be picked potential. So here you are learning this. Did you do this through YouTube, or has it all been trial and error?
You know, to be honest, the people in Montana are so neighborly and friendly. Everyone has land and property. We look out for each other. We say, like, the berries are probably not going to do well because such and such. And I'd be like, well, what about such and such? Because this might work. Otherwise, doing a berm, having it outside of the ground in the soil. And I've learned about worms in there. When I first went to Montana,
how they aerate the ground. Worms are very important, though. You know, they do aerate the ground. Yeah.
I remember when I first went to my friends in Montana, I was looking at a box. It was the compost box with worms. And I was like, why is that in the house? And then they explained to me, because it can't handle the weather and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, okay. Now I've seen what that soil can do. Now I'm fascinated. But the neighbors are so neighborly. They're like, here, you need some gooseberries. And now I have like a little freezer, you know, what do you call it? The where it sucks all the air out of the plastic bag.
So I know what you're talking about.
What I'm talking about. And so I'm doing that so that in the winter during the snow, I can, you know, hibernate and just make, that's what I did last year. I made like currant syrup, and
we canned all of our fruits and vegetables. We would make our corn and we'd cut it off the cob and we'd put it in baggies and put it in the freezer. We'd sit and shell all the peas. And I got to tell you, as a kid, there was nothing more frustrating than having this big bushel of peas in front of you and knowing that you were only going to get this tiny little bowl once it was said and done. And it was hard not to eat them raw. You knew you were killing your process, right? Your progress is amazing. But it's such a connection with earth, and it's such a beautiful, inexpensive. You cannot believe how much, like, you know, I'll remember this forever. I had never bought a cucumber in my life because I was always around people with gardens. And so I would go, and then we would make pickles for the winter. And so, you know, when I moved to California and I went grocery shopping for my first time, and pickles were like $1. And I was like, oh my gosh, we used to throw them away because so many would grow that we couldn't do anything with them, you know? And here I am forgetting and not realizing how efficient it is financially to raise your own produce.
True. It's so funny. I get so annoyed now that I have to pay for carrots when I'm down a bit. I'm like, I'm not going to pay for carrots. I got plenty of those. Actually, you know, and the neighbors are just so friendly. They let you know if they see a bear or, you know, a tweaker or something. You know, look out for each other. And
Montana, I love it.
It's interesting because I brought my whole system. You know, you get really good Wi-Fi in Montana, more so than you do in Vegas sometimes. Because if it's like a breeze will happen in Vegas and the internet will go out for an hour, I'm like, I have the best internet money can buy. How is this happening? And it happens here. It's annoying as hell. And so in Montana, everybody wants to see it. I set up my background similar to yours, where it's like I have the trees and the forest and the deck, and they like seeing that as my background during my live shows. So I've been experimenting with that. Sure. And I have it's funny you mentioned about the dancing, because it was such a big part of my life and your
life. Both of our lives. We danced more than we shot. We were on the road more than we did anything. So what are you going to do about dancing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it really built a big audience and a following. And the reason I have the audience on OnlyFans is because I toured, I did the work, I went out, I shook hands and kissed babies.
You met people. You're your own sales rep. You know, people don't realize, the girls that don't go on the road, you're not meeting 1,000 people in person a weekend when you're in LA. You're doing that on the road. And once you meet those people in person, whether it's a trade show, a feature booking, you're kind of connected for life. Even when they tweet you, you remember them forever. You remember that engagement you had with them. And so it builds a loyal fan base. But now it's very different. And it's you know, there's strip club parties going on now. Like, look, I love hosting and doing fringe activities. But after the year of the pandemic and having a bit of time before that where I hadn't danced, now I'm just like, a couple of clubs have called me recently. I'm like, you know, I'm just not dancing. I said, you know, to be like too close to 50 at this point. I'm just not doing it. What's your take on being out on the road at this point?
So it's funny that you mention it, because this week I am in talks to do, these are like only two clubs that I would probably go to again.
Okay.
Sapphire, Midtown Sapphire.
Oh, nice. Probably I'll get to see you.
I'm telling you what, I'm so excited because they fly you in now the day before and fly out the day after instead of that rush.
Would you change your flight and stay with me for a couple of days?
Yeah, definitely October. And so I'm excited to do that. And then also gossip, because Sapphire is a small club. They don't really want you on there on stage for too long. They want to get you in and get you out. They want the promo. They want to be on your Twitter. They want to promote that, be known as the porn star club. Gossip is this beautiful,
Oh,
upscale
such a beautiful
nightclub
club.
with a beautiful stage, and I can do six songs if I want. I could stay up there
Yes.
forever. He's like, do it
Yes.
all,
You
bring
actually
all
get to
the.
entertain at Gossip. You really, and even the house girls are incredible dancers and incredible pole dancers, and just it's beautiful.
Yeah, they have their own in-house feature, and she's not competitive. She's supportive. She's your cheerleader, sits on the stage and cheers you on. And all she wears is like a little thong, but she's such an amazing dancer combined with
Yeah.
the drop that it's like just a great show. So I can't wait to do that. We're thinking October Halloween
So let me
weekend.
ask you this. Are you doing your dance bookings on your own?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
So that's
They'll
another
be.
great break with the pandemic. Anybody who had an 18-month clause in their contract from our shitty ass dance feature dance booking agents who sucked. I can look back now and think of all the people that sucked the worst. And I will definitely say more people agree with me that it was our dance agents. And so this gave you the break. That if you legally want to go back to clubs, the ones that you have accounts with, the ones that you've talked to, nobody can come to you and say, oh, you have to pay me the commission because it's been within 18 months. And I can remember getting that phone call when I got back in the business in 2018. And I mean, the fuckery, right? I get the phone call like, you're going to a club, I booked you out, you owe me the commission. I'm like, bruh, your contract says 18 months. I haven't been out on the road for 28 months. So this shit's over. You're not getting another dime from me. Ever, ever, ever. But for you waited it out. And clubs like dealing with the entertainers directly. You never get a mishap. You never get, oh, I didn't get the driver's information to you, or I didn't get this for you, or your flight. We're adults. We don't need a middle person to speak to these people. Now, it was different when you and I wanted to be out on the road 40 to 45 weekends a year. You kind of needed somebody to sling your shit for you because you were too busy to do it.
100%. And one of the best parts about the pandemic is sort of watching these horrible human beings just sort of fall off the face of your planet. You know what I mean? I mean, honestly, like to not have.
We're not, once in a while, I pull up to Pettyville. I move in for a day or two. This is a Pettyville fucking conversation because I talk to more and more. Of my friends in the industry now that are giving me this same thing. And it's not just with dance agents, it's also with booking agents for scenes. A lot of girls have come to me and said, like, look, I don't want to shoot that much. I have the contacts of the people I want to shoot with. Why the fuck am I going to deal with somebody who's going to charge me for everything, take my checks, pay me in cash? It's a tax nightmare the way that a lot of the agents handle it in the adult industry. And this was the slow bleed that they kind of needed, right? This really, and the thing is, it didn't affect them the way it should. How it should have affected them is they should have reflected and they should have thought, maybe I should have been nicer to the people that were making me money every single week. And maybe they'd want to come back to me now, but now they don't have to. But that's not what I'm hearing. I'm hearing that the agents are back on the prowl, starting to harass the girls. I'm not saying reaching out in a way of like, hey, do you want to do dance bookings? No. Starting to harass the girls like, oh, you need to work, this, I did this for you. And it's not working. Everyone's like, yo, after a year of not talking to you, I've just realized I never want to talk to you again.
I'm not taking this abuse anymore. Absolutely. And if you talk to girls in the industry, a lot of them, I would see them on Twitter responding to fans in the comments, like, why don't you feature dance? I want to see you at this club. And they're like, I honestly, if we had better dance agents, I would be out on the road, but we just don't. And they're not worth my time and not worth just taking the abuse that they'd fucking sling at us sometimes. I can't even believe.
Gosh,
I'm like, oh my.
it's an underbelly of the industry that a lot of people out there don't really understand. We should explain that when a dance booking gets you a booking, when a dance agent gets you a booking, you owe them a commission, of course. They have a travel agent that they work through that I fought to work against for the longest time because the travel agent will save the club like $30 on a flight and give you a layover that's like 4 hours long. So like, a cross-country trip could be 12 hours, when really it should be five, 5 and a half. And I can remember waking up, you know, I'm on the West Coast. Dance agents at that time was on the West Coast like you. Dance agents are on the East Coast. First message I'd get Monday morning is, when are you depositing the commission in the bank? And we would have to go to the bank the Monday we got home from our dance bookings and put that money. And I would do it cash, right? You yeah. would do it right away, because if you didn't, they'd start harassing you. Now, really, you have 30 days to pay on an invoice. And really, I could have mailed a check and made them wait for it. But the harassment was so intense that you did it on Monday, right?
Oh, pretty much always. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're right. You're right. It was always Monday. They start like, well, first it started with me. They give me like a sob story about how their kid needs baseball uniforms or some bullshit. It was always sure. something. It's like, I'm like, can I fucking sleep in for once? Like, I yes, got like
after
3 hours.
You just got home from the road. Right.
When you take that 7 a.m. flight.
From the road. But I think it's great that you're still going to get out there and pick and choose some clubs that you like. You know, the Dollhouse in Florida would be a good spot for you. You know, I have a nice handful of contacts that like to book directly that would be happy to work with you, because I do feel, you know, you're still at an incredible stage of your life as an entertainer, and you're still going to want to go out and do that. And especially, let's elaborate on everything you do on the pole and that pole dance marathon you did last year, 2 years ago already, for charity.
Holy shit. Holy shit. That's so crazy. It started, I think, when I won my, like, they have the exotic dancer, featured dancer, entertainer version of AVN, where they give out awards. They have a convention. It's a gentleman's club owners expo.
By the way, I always like that convention a lot.
Me too. I loved hanging out. It's a little bit low pressure. It's not going to be on Showtime. You know, it's basically an industry thing. So when I won a few awards, it kind of kicked it off. And then I hosted the awards. And then I think 2 years later was when I was like, let's do a pole marathon for charity. Now I've kind of tried to bring, if you can see, I'm under construction because I'm trying to bring my whole pole stage.
Okay.
Into the bedroom that I typically will do my live shows from, so I can bring a little bit of pole dancing to the Bathtub Tuesdays show, you know? So
that's there's a lot to unpack there. For somebody like you to put on a show, the behind the scenes, how long does it take you to do the construction to not only get the pole in the bathtub, the bath area where you want it, to get the lighting right, and to get everything set for your show?
Well, in the beginning, it was a lot of tinkering. I was a little late sometimes. I'd be like, oh my gosh, my lighting is just not perfect. And so it was a lot of trial and error. But thank God for COVID, because I had the time to really figure it out. So now I have my light set up in the room. They don't move in this room. But when I'm doing it in the bedroom, I just have to move one or two lights. And then I have this handy dandy, like, you know, like a portable desk that moves my laptop around and carries all the equipment. And the microphone and everything. So I've got it down to a science now, but it took some tinkering for sure.
It does. Each time you want to move a set, you're going in your kitchen. You decide you're going to shoot some kitchen stuff. Like, lighting can be such a thing. Now, I will say this. I did that 30 for 30 in June, where I did 30 questions for 30 days on YouTube Live. And it was good for me because it made me stop tinkering as much. Because when you have to do something, because I set them up in advance, so the live feed would be waiting for me. I couldn't be late, right? Because it was all going as a premiere. So it got to the point where even with my hair and makeup, I just got fast and efficient and was like, you know, probably nobody notices the things that we notice, but it can cause a lot of extra like intensity before you go live. And if you do it too close, then you get on camera and you're like, okay. I'm here, right? Nobody realizes the amount of moving around, moving the lights around, setting up your computer. Everything has to be just right, you know, and when you're doing that in multiple rooms in your house, it could be an hour to get everything moved around properly, set up, adjusted the way you want it, and then ready to shoot your little thing.
100%. Definitely.
And that hour just flies by because you've just put your makeup on. You still have to finish up your hair, you know, but it's so great doing everything from home, because even though this stuff can be a little bit taxing, as soon as you're done, you get to have a snack. You're like at home.
I know. That's the best part. And then I tried to order another extension because I wanted to bring my stage to another location. I eventually want to bring it to Montana because they have this beautiful great room that doesn't really have anything in it. It is an extension of the house that was just built.
Okay.
And it's got these beautiful windows. You see trees all around you. And I just thought it's huge.
It would be awesome for a pole in there.
Oh, it would be so beautiful. And so I tried to order an extension and they are like, you can come pick it up in our LA warehouse on October 15th at the soonest. And this was yesterday. I was like, holy shit. You forget when you go out into the world, like nobody's working. The way that we have responded to the kind of shitbag people in the industry, we're like, we don't need you anymore. It's the way that most people are looking at work in general. They're like, yeah. I don't need this shit. This is bad for my mental health. And it's like,
and everybody is also behind on materials and behind on things. Yes. You know, if something's broken, like an appliance, you call for this appliance and you're like, they're like, okay, we're like 6 months behind right now. Okay. Like, we know. So there's that too, but you're right. Also, I think what's different for you and I is we kept working the whole time. And as a matter of fact, we probably worked harder because we had less commute time, less travel time, less interruptions from having to pack and unpack. So we worked harder and more efficiently. And then when you do step out and you realize that a lot of other people have not been working and are not ready to work, you're like, oh yeah, I forgot that was part of this.
Yeah. Yeah. How much?
Because I mean, I've been busy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. We've been engaged all day, every day, even more so. I want to push harder. I want to make more merch. I want to like do it seasonally. And so I think the dancing also, just because I've gotten deep into the merch this summer, I've released a merch line like Shop Grateful Red. And the link is on my Twitter. You guys can see it.
Shop.jadenfans.com. It's shop. Got like jadenfans.com. Okay.
Shop.jadenfans.com. Yeah. But then just knowing that I'm not missing out, but like I could have a great opportunity to drop merch at these dance gigs. Road. I want to get a t-shirt gun for Gossip because it's big enough.
Yes. That I can... Yes.
I just want to do all the things. I want to go all out because I know I'm not going to be doing it often. You know, I'm going to pick and choose.
The road was great for getting rid of odd sizes of merch. When I used to do a lot of merch and then I'd be switching to like the next look and I'd be left with like 8 odd sizes, like 2 XXLs, a bunch of smalls. I would just give them away from stage.
Yes. Yes.
So it's a great place to like get rid of the stuff that you no longer, because you know, you're in the same boat. Now you're in 2 locations. There's a lot of storage for this stuff and you're running a shipping and receiving business from both homes. So you have to have supplies at both places. You know, I'm sure when you're in Montana, dropping stuff at the post office is probably quicker because there's less traffic, there's less people. You use stamps.com like I do. You just print it out, you drop it off, you're good to go.
I brought my stamps.com scale. I brought a few sizes of each merch thing. And let me tell you about the post office in Montana. I go down the road. It's down like a dirt road. I pass some horses and some cows. Aww. And then I pull up to this little hut and Joe, the postman, he's there from 9 a.m. to 11:30. And then 12:30, he takes a lunch from 12:30 to 2:30. I shit you not, the first time I dropped stuff off at him, I'm like getting to know him because I know I'm going to be here a lot.
Yeah,
and he, instead of like a computer to calculate the total, I shit you not, he busted out an old school calculator and was like, the total's 1952. I was like,
Did you at one point feel like this was a spoof and you were being punked and this shit was not going to get mailed out at all? Like, where's the computer?
I was like, I need those tracking numbers. I need a double receipt.
Yeah, yeah. I just want to be sure, sure.
Some of my friends was mentioning to me, there's a movie from, I think the 80s with Diane Keaton called Baby Boom. Do you remember this movie? No. Someone is telling me you are Diane Keaton in Baby Boom. She's like a New York City, like businesswoman making 6 figures a year. And then she decides something happens in her life and she goes up to upstate New York and into the middle of the woods and starts like making jams and jellies and takes off on this thriving business. And everyone's like, all the locals are like throwing stuff at her. They're like, get out of here, city. We don't want your kind up here. But then she eventually like makes it work. So everyone's been telling me that that's what I'm turning into.
Okay, that's
like,
a movie we'll have to watch together when you come here to perform at Sapphires. That'll be absolutely perfect movie night. We'll do that for sure. I love that. I love that it's a small town feel because you haven't felt that in a while. You've lived in pretty busy places, larger cities. Do you think you'll make the move to Montana full time?
Yes, definitely. But I'm not going to, I was thinking about like renting my place out as like a corporate rental. I really, my goal is to have this place in Las Vegas to go to in the winter. I want to be a snowbird. Like very badly. So I'm not getting rid of, I want places all over. I want a place in Florida eventually. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see,
but... I mean, it's such a quick trip, right? Montana to Vegas. It's such a quick trip for you.
Yes, it really is. It's really not bad at all. And yeah, I actually split up the trip. I drove for the first time this summer because I was going to be there for like a month. This was like my,
and you were
like,
taking your dog.
Exactly. So yeah. We split it up. I stayed in like Idaho Falls or something like that, which was, they had like sunflowers across down the freeway down the highway. I was like, this is where I need to be. And you know, the friendliness and neighborliness. I remember, I went there and there was this like cowboy came over in a cowboy hat to some friends. And he was just like, he had taken care of some things around the house while we were gone. And in the fall, and he came over and we were like, here you go, buddy. Here's a bottle of wine. Thank you so much. Here's like a jar of our homegrown marijuana, whatever. And he's like, oh, you didn't have to do that. I'm just happy to help out a friend. And I was just like, see, this is kind of where I need to be. I did grow up in high school. In middle school, I was in rural South Georgia. Like, so this was something, this country life, I think was something I always thought I was going to go back to, but the pandemic just kind of pushed it a little faster and made me realize that it's possible. Now I can kind of have my cake and eat it too. I can have the career and get all glammed up. When it's go time, it's go time. And I'm happy to do that. I look forward to it.
Sure. It's you're living two different lives, and going back to our roots is something that it's very comfortable, and the pandemic probably accelerated it for many reasons. I mean, people got wild during this downtime. I mean, you and I were busy working, but a lot of people were wilding out. So I saw a lot of people saying, I want to go to a more remote area. I want to be around different types of people. I think for me, the touching base with my roots came when I moved back here in December of 2019. It just started the seasons. Like I missed the snow. I missed the fall. Like I missed all of that. So I still did get to enjoy that last year, even though there wasn't a lot of, nothing was open. There was nothing to do. I still got to go to the park after we had a huge snowstorm or early in the morning and take photos before there were any footprints in the snow. And like, it's comforting to me, but I know that feeling growing up remotely, and people are just very different. Vegas, LA, very transient. Most people aren't from there, so they don't treat it like they're from there. And I'm sure your neighbors in Montana are actually from there. They're the type of people that don't litter. They really care about their neighbors, their neighborhood, their community. They're really grounded where they live.
Oh yeah, they're content with it. And you seem like such a badass New York City like girl that I was like definitely reassured that you were going back home. Like this is home to you. And you kind of had the city to yourself. I remember you were having a blast riding your bike all by yourself. I'm like, you go girl, you enjoy where you live.
It was pretty cool. I was going through some photos with my girlfriend, Monica, who visited me. And there was a day that I convinced the security guard at St. Patrick's to let me in the church. The church was closed, but they were opening it at odd hours for confession. And he said, well, it's not confession yet, so I can't let you in. I'm like, I'm not coming for confession. I just really want to see what it's like to be in here alone. And so he's like, okay, go in for like 30 minutes. So I went in there by myself and I took video and pictures, and it was so cool. Like it was just like an outer body experience. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm in here by myself. Like it was just beautiful. It was so peaceful. You had to make the most of it, right? I was one of those people that was out making the most of it. I remember one day walking by and seeing a cop at the red steps. And I'm like, hey, would you take some photos of me on the red steps by myself? And he's like, well, they're closed. And I'm like, yeah, but nobody else is here. Let's just do this. That was all I needed to say to him to confuse him enough that I handed him my phone. He took the pictures and then I went about my way. So I made the most of it. But you and I have known each other for now over 10 years, 15 years.
I want to say 10. Yes, at least 10.
At least 10. We've learned a ton from each other. We've grown together. I've gotten to spend time with your mom. I mean, we're family, I've watched you evolve in so many ways, but what I've loved the most is what an entrepreneur you've really identified yourself as. And you find joy in things that I do. You like selling merch because you also like packing it up and shipping it out. Don't tell me you don't. There's something about that little process that is soothing, right?
You know how people say like ASMR is satisfying to them? It's satisfying to close a package and just spritz it with your perfume and put the little bow. And my little labels are so cute. I'm like, they're discreet, but they're still kind of cute. You won't know if, you know, it's just so fun to me. And I, that's why I think I got into the like making, now I'm learning about canning and all this stuff. I'm like, oh, I just want to sell it. Now I went to this country concert in July and I was like, instead of really enjoying the concert, I was like, these food trucks and these little food tents are making so much. And I just spent the whole time like crunching numbers. Like, how am I going to make money off of this one day? I want to be there to sell Grateful Red fucking whatever.
Yeah. That's where we're analyzing. You're looking at the how this is going to work. I'm sure there's some really good flea markets on weekends there as well, where you can set up regularly, but you know how you're doing all of this. So where can everybody follow and find you and stay connected with you?
I think my number one platform is always going to be Twitter. Twitter is at Jaden Cole. It's the one I've been with the longest. And then Instagram, I'm at Grateful Red Tour. TikTok is Miss Jaden Cole. And OnlyFans is just Jaden Fans. I try to promote that as much as possible. I just changed the link to jadenfans.com. So that's where you can find me, and I'm live every week.
And I got to congratulate you. This is a long time. You've had this Instagram account for your listeners out here. Let me explain something to you. Jaden does not have good luck with Instagram. We know it's not her at all. We know that there is someone out there. We've all gone through this, but you have had how many accounts deleted from Instagram?
9 in the last 3 years.
So exhausting.
You know, if you think about it, Lisa, it's just some guy behind there that didn't get laid in high school. And for some, like, whatever reason. And it's so funny. I don't think I told you about this, but I was looking at a girl on TikTok who's crazy, just super sexual. And she actually posted a TikTok video on how she got her Instagram back and verified. She goes, she's so young, Lisa. She wasn't even pronouncing the word LinkedIn correctly. Like, we just say LinkedIn, right? She's like, here's what you do to get your Instagram back. If you've been naughty, get a LinkedIn account, a LinkedIn account, and then you can connect with all the tech geeks that work at Instagram. So here's what I did. She even screenshotted a screenshot of her conversation.
She keep saying LinkedIn.
LinkedIn account.
Oh, I love this so much.
And it's like the guy's like, she's like, hey, I got my thing. We might fuck one day. Who knows? And he's just like, any surprises you woke up to this morning? She's like, yes, it's back and verified. Thank you. Was it you? And he's like, maybe. I'm like, oh, okay. So I got to go pretend to suck off a tech geek on LinkedIn if I really want to get
not on LinkedIn, on LinkedIn.
LinkedIn account.
Get a LinkedIn account and then you can get that done. Oh my gosh. The just time consuming, unnecessary amounts. Like, look, social media has brought a lot into our lives. It's allowed us to connect with our fans effortlessly. It's allowed us to promote what we're doing, what we're selling, what we have. But there is also a couple good hours a day of nonsense, or when you lose an Instagram account, it sets your whole day aside. And you're spending time trying to do things and it's just stressful. It's really stressful. It's another layer.
I just started submitting like the trademark infringement setup on Instagram, which is different than just saying like, oh, this person's impostering me.
Yep.
It does. So I just started that process. Literally, I spent hours last night just
doing
going
all
through
of them?
The trademark process and like, this is my link to my trademark license. This is my articles of incorporation I've had for over 10 fucking years. It's crazy. So how much time consuming that has been. It's interesting.
You made a project out of it last night and you just started to attack it. I've been there. I'm like, I'm just going to do this until I'm done. 8 hours goes by. You're like, listen, I have to tell you, I love your hair this length. So, you know, I'm going to say it.
Thank you.
It's as stunning as you are. And it just shows your beautiful face and just your beautiful self. And you're so amazing. yeah, flip that hair in that room. I am looking forward to seeing post-construction photos of the pole assembled in the bathroom. I mean, this is fascinating what you've been able to learn how to do. I saw that pole over there, and it reminded me of the Broad City when they went to Bed Bath & Beyond. They were walking around all day with the bags and that pole, and she was on the subway with that pole, and a guy thought it was a subway pole, and she just let him grab it, and the first time it stopped, the guy went flying. It was amazing. So that's what it reminded me of. But Jean and Cole, thank you so much for visiting here today on Lace and Experience. Love you to pieces, everybody. Make sure you follow Jaden, Miss Jaden Cole, M-I-S-S, Jaden Cole on TikTok, Grateful Red Tour at Insta, and Jaden Cole at Twitter. Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, girl. Thanks for
Love
stopping
you.
By.
We'll talk Love soon. You.